What a blessed thing the gospel is. God help you to believe it. God help you to believe it. I'm going to bring a message here out of Genesis 4. Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. First two men mentioned in the Scriptures. First two brothers, other than Adam. And here we see that these men came before the Lord and they came with offerings. They came to worship God. We've come to worship God today. And we're going to worship Him one way or another. We're going to worship Him God's way or our way. We're going to be a Cain or we're going to be an Abel. We're going to come with a blood offering or we're going to come with our own works. With our own work. And that's when I read this to you. You've seen how that Cain got very angry. Got very angry. And he committed sin. Murdered his brother. And let me tell you this. Sin's never an isolated act. It's never an isolated act. It's not just one thing you do and it has no effect on anybody. Sin always has fruit to it. There's a cause and an effect. Sin is the cause and the effect of it. Always has others. Just like when Adam fell. When Adam sinned against God. What was the effect of that sin? What was the effect of Adam's sin? Adam, when God told Adam, put him in the garden, told him to dress him, he says, now you can eat, mayest eat of every fruit of the tree, of every garden in this Eden. You dress it and you keep it, but there's one tree right out there in the middle. And he says, don't you dare eat of that fruit. The day you eat that fruit, that's the day you'll die. That's the day you'll be separated from me. That's the day that death will set in on you and you'll not only be separated from me and not have no fruit in a relationship with me, but you'll start dying physically. And not only that, but since you're the only man and everybody's going to come through your loins, you're going to cause every one of them to be what you are. When you disobey God, they're going to disobey God. When you sin, they're going to sin. So wherever sin is, there's other sins caused before the effect of it, the fruit of it. It's awful, the effect and fruit of sin. And so there we see man sinning in the garden. That was the individual sinning against God. But here we have sin in the family. Here's the fruit and effect of what Adam did manifest itself in the first two men mentioned in the Scriptures other than Adam. Huh? Here we have sin in the family. Sin contaminates, it spreads, and it brings forth death. It brought forth death in Adam. It starts bringing forth death in us. And sometimes we don't know how we're going to leave this world, but we're all leaving it because of death. Yes. Why is death? Sin bringing forth death. And beloved, that's why men die, because of sin. And sin, it contaminates, it spreads. It spreads from me to my children, from their children to their children, from their children to their children. And in Genesis 3, the sin that Adam committed was against God. And here in Genesis 4, it's against a fellow man. And I tell you what, when a man kills another man, it's when there's no fear of God. No genuine respect for the right of his neighbor. I don't like the way he treats me. I don't like the way he does things. I don't like the way he's doing the things he does, so I'll just kill him. That's what happened here. In verse 1, look what it says here. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She thought Cain was this promised Messiah, the seed of the woman. She thought this was going to be the promised Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer of them. She said, I've gotten the man from the Lord. That's what she's saying here. And then in verse 2, our Lord singled out these sons of Adam to teach us all redemption by blood. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of grain. He singled out these two men here, these two sons of Adam, to teach us all that redemption is by blood. That redemption and salvation is by the sacrifice of another. It says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's not going to be no sin put away. There's going to be no sin paid for. And God says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given the blood upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. And then the second thing he teaches us by these two sons is not only redemption by the blood, but to condemn salvation by works.
Yes.
Cain brought in the process of time, Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Abel, in verse 4, brought the firstlings of his flock. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. God shows us here that he condemns and judges and will not accept salvation by works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God.
Yeah.
Not of works. Lest any man should boast. If a man got something to contribute, he'll boast about it. That's why free willism is so damnable. Because men actually thinks that he by his own power and authority and doings that he can contribute to what God did in Christ. That he thinks he's got to contribute to his own salvation. Works religion is horrible. It's damnable. And oh, that's what he says. We were redeemed not by such corruptible things as silver, gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. And oh, beloved, the way of Abel here, when he brought the firstlings of the flock, that's the way of grace. That's the way of grace. The way of Cain, when he brought the fruit of his ground, that's the way of works. And here, beloved, this is the crossroads. This is the place man's going to come to. He's either going to come to God either by his own works, or he's going to come to God through Christ, through a blood offering. And he's going to choose one or the other. He's going to make his mind up which way he's going to come to God. There ain't but two religions in this world. No matter how you boil it down, there ain't but two religions. That's of God, all of grace, or it's of works, and it's got to be all of works. No matter what thing it goes under. You know, that's what he says. If it's of grace, then it's no more works. Romans 11:5. If it's of grace, it's no more works. Or otherwise, it wouldn't be grace. He says, now, if it's of works, it's not of grace, or otherwise, works is not really works. You can't mix them together when it comes to coming before in the presence of God. And there we have here two religions. And we have two men. One's a farmer and one's a shepherd. One's a shepherd. And let's look at this together. First thing we learn this is through Cain and Abel. God is to be worshipped and can only be worshipped by sacrifice. By sacrifice. Huh? And the sacrifice is to be offered in faith. It says there in verse 3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And also, here comes Abel. He comes and he offers a sacrifice, the firstlings of his flock. And the sacrifice is to be offered in faith. Now, there's three things here that we see about the worship of Cain and Abel. First of all, there was a place where God was to be worshipped. It said in the process of time it came, that they came to this place. You know, they can come process of time, and Abel also brought. So there was a place that they came to. There was a time and a place that they came to worship God and offer their sacrifices. Huh? Cain brought an offering unto the Lord. And he brought his sacrifice and his offering to a particular place. Huh? And it tells us there in verse 16 that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He brought his offering to a particular place. Abel brought his offering to a particular place. And one of them stayed in the prayer. One of them, he said, because my offering is not respected and my offering is not accepted, I will out from the presence of the Lord. And that's what happens if God will not accept your works and your offering. You'll go out from the presence of the Lord. And no doubt, beloved, there was an altar here. Because Abel brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And what they done, they burnt the fat upon the altar. And that was a sweet-smelling savor unto God. So there was God's only to be worshipped by a sacrifice. And it's not and they both brought sacrifices. And then there was an appointed time for worship. It says there in verse 3, and in process of time, or at the end of days. At the end of days, it says in the margin. At the end of a set certain amount of days. You know, they had three feasts, and they had three particular offerings at the feast that they had. You know, there was the Passover. They done that once a year. That was at the end of days they went. Then they had the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the end of days they went to there. And so they had these end of days. There was a time that there was a set time for these fellows to come and make their offerings, to come before God. And then there was a prescribed means of worship. A prescribed means. God could be approached and worshipped only by means of a sacrifice. Well, now how in the world do you know that they knew this? I'll tell you how they knew it. Adam taught them. Who else could have taught them? You know, Adam was hid in the garden, and the first shedding of blood, God shed the blood. The first shedding of blood was God slew the animal. And clothed Adam and Eve. They learned right then and there that the only way your sin can be atoned for, the only way your sin can be put away, the only way you can be accepted of me is through the death of the just for the unjust. Somebody's going to die for sin. If you're going to stay in my presence and worship me, your sin must be atoned for. And so God shed the blood. God Himself clothed their nakedness with the animal skin, showing that righteousness of Christ is the only thing that can serve. And then all, beloved, and look what it says there in verse 4. And Abel he also brought of the first and of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering. Now you keep Genesis 4. Look with me over in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see this. Look what God said about Abel. God speaks about Abel over here. Huh? And the only thing He says about Cain is over in 1 John. He says Cain was of that wicked one. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Now it says, you know, by faith Abel offered. Look what it says here in Hebrews 11, 4. By faith. That's what I told you, you know, the offering has to be by faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Who witnessed that he was righteous? God witnessed to it, because he came God's way. God's witnessing to his faith. God's witnessing to his sacrifice. God's witnessing to his righteousness. God testifying of his gifts, and by that blood that he shed, and by that gift that he did, by it he being dead, yet speaking to us, teaching us, and preaching to us today by Abel's act of sacrifice and Abel's blood shedding. And all, beloved, he believed God, and it was evidenced by offering a sacrifice according to God's will. And you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and that's how his faith came to him. He believed what his father told him about God. He believed what his father told him about a sacrifice. He believed what his father told him about needing the blood sacrifice. He believed him. He believed God, and he believed that his father says, you know, son, if you don't bring the right offering, your sin will be against you in the day of judgment, and you'll suffer eternally. The only way in the world that I'm alive today is, and I'm accepted of God today, is because God himself shed blood. And no doubt from then on, Adam himself no doubt offered that sacrifice. And here's Abel. He believed what his father said about God, so he believed God. Now watch what happens here, back over in Genesis 4. The offerings of Cain and Abel, it says here that God accepted one and rejected the other. He accepted one, and let me tell you this. The difference is not in the two men.
No.
You can't turn your hand different for the difference in these two men. You know what the difference was? Their offerings. What they brought to offer. That was the difference.
Amen.
Cain wasn't any worse than Abel. They both were sinners. They both was in need of a Savior. They both in need of redemption. They're both in need of a sacrifice. They're both in need of being accepted of God. They're both in need of righteousness. They both need a sacrifice to come into the presence of God. Cain wasn't worse than Abel. He wasn't an atheist here. He wasn't an infidel. The very fact that he came here and brought his own offering, he acknowledged the existence of God. He was going to go up and worship Him, but he's going to worship Him His way.
All right.
He says there in verse 3 that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He's going to worship God after his own way. And you know what that's called? That's called real worship. That's called real worship. How many people will worship? That means worship by the reasoning of your own will and your own way and deciding this is the way I'll do it. That's what real worship is about. How many people will worship? They worship by their own will, their own reasoning, their own philosophy, their own opinions, their own thoughts, their own feelings. And God don't enter into the picture. The Bible don't enter into the picture. And He brought us through the ground. And I'll tell you another reason why His offering was rejected. His offering was a bloodless one. It's bloodless. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. When God told him to offer the sacrifice, the Passover lamb, He said, put the blood on the side post of the door and over the lintel. And He says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And every house that didn't have blood, the firstborn in that house died that night in Egypt. The only place where anybody didn't die was in those houses that had the blood on them. And the only way their firstborn died was through that blood, that Passover lamb.
Amen.
And there was probably over 200,000 lambs offered that night, but God says the Passover, counted it as one. And there's only one offering that God will accept, and that's the blood of His own Son. And Christ has already offered that, so you can't bring an offering. You got to come to the offering God's provided.
Amen.
Christ has done entered once into the holy place, and there put His own blood on the altar. And there, beloved, He came out with eternal redemption for us. Huh? And oh, beloved, when He brought His bloodless sacrifice, He was denying His need of being redeemed. I don't need a redeemer. Why do I need a redeemer? Why do I need somebody to redeem me? Why do I need somebody to pay my sin debt? Huh? He says, I'll be my own priest. I don't need a priest to offer a sacrifice for me. I'll bring my own. I'll be my own priest. I don't need nobody to mediate for me. I don't need blood to mediate for me. I don't need anybody to mediate for me. I'll be my own mediator. Huh? And oh, beloved, not only was His offering a bloodless one, but His offering was the fruit of His own labor. Ain't that what it says? He said He brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. You know, if you go in these Chinese restaurants, and of course, when you go in there, they all got them a little altar. You know, you can't go in there, but they got an altar. And you know what they got? They got a bunch of fruit there. They got a bunch of little statues, and they got fruit there. Next time you go to China, go in there, and you'll see they got a little table there, and they got a basket of fruit and stuff there. You know what that is? That's to offer to their gods. And they're not, you know, would our God accept an orange? Would our God accept turnips? Would our God accept tomatoes? Would He accept a bushel of beans? Would He accept a bushel basket full of yellow squash? Would He accept 100 pounds of potatoes? Would that put away our sin? Well, that's what he brought. Take them to the county fair and let them judge them and get you blue ribbon for your potatoes and your squash and your corn and your beans. But don't bring them to God. Don't bring the works of your hands to God. Because you're just bringing nothing but beans and corn and squash and tomatoes. And God said, I won't have it. What kind of God would it be that could be satisfied with that? They don't even satisfy us. That's why we just keep buying them and keep getting them and keep using them over and over again. There's only one thing to satisfy God, and only one thing will satisfy our conscience. One thing satisfied God, and that was the blood of His Son, the death of His Son. He saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. And beloved, the same thing it took to satisfy God took to satisfy me. And if God's satisfied with Christ, it satisfies my conscience. And it don't cry out anymore. The same blood that appeased and satisfied God appeases and satisfies my own conscience. Huh? And oh, beloved. Oh, here's the works of His own hands. What He was doing here, He was denying that He was a sinner before God. That's what He's saying. I'm not a sinner. Huh? I don't deserve death. And not only did He bring the fruit of the ground, but He brought it from a cursed ground. The ground had been cursed when God told Adam, cursed shall be the ground for thy sake from henceforth. It ain't going to bring nothing to bring forth thorns and briars because you don't have to sweat to make a living now. So He wanted to bring the sweat of His own. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but His own mercy He saved us. Huh? And so, thirdly, He refused God's revealed way of worship and acceptance. God has done revealed the way He's going to be worshipped, the way He's going to be accepted. He had done shed the blood. And that's why it says in Ephesians 1 and 6, accepted when we're accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So God rejected Abel's offering. Why did God have respect unto Abel's offering? First of all, it was an offering of faith. We see over there, by faith, Abel offered. It was an offering of faith. And then God said his was a more excellent sacrifice. And they'll say Abel was more excellent. Don't talk about anything about Abel. Except, you know, by faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice. Not Abel's the finest fellow in the world. Not Abel's the strongest man in the world. Not Abel's the most faithful man in the world. He said he was accepted because of his sacrifice. We stand or fall with our sacrifice. He came to the way that God told him to come. And secondly, it was an offering typifying the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a lamb. When John says, behold the Lamb of God, he was remembered all the way back here and all the way through the Scriptures where there was a lamb. Bring a lamb. Remember Abraham told his son, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And sure enough, when he had Isaac on the altar, God stayed his hand and he looked around behind him and there was a ram caught in the thicket. And he put that ram, that male lamb, without spot and blemish in Isaac's place. So, every lamb typified, showed redemption through Christ Jesus our Lord. And oh, he brought a lamb, the firstling of the flock. It's the innocent dying for the guilty. That lamb never done anything. Christ had no sin. He knew no sin. But he was made sin for who? For us, his people. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's the innocent dying for the guilty, and it has to be without spot and without blemish. And when he brought that, he was confessing that I'm a sinner. I deserve death. So I offer this in my place, in my stead, so that I won't die and accept this. Oh God, accept this offering. And judge him in my place. Let him die in my stead. And oh, that's where people have such a hard time. They have such a hard time. They just can't hardly believe that I could be that bad of a sinner, that I must be that awful, that it would take the blood of somebody else. But in that Leviticus, they laid their hands upon the head of the sacrifice. That meant, beloved, you're identifying with it.
Amen.
You're confessing your sins on it. You're confessing, I deserve to die. And oh, beloved, put your hands on Christ. Come to Him. Now look what happens down here in verse 5. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very angry, got mad, and his countenance was fallen. His countenance fell. He got angry. You know, you can tell when, how many times one of you all said something, who are you mad at today? Why are you so mad? Why are you so upset? You can tell when people's countenance fall. Well, I'll stay clear of him. He sure seems like he's mad at somebody. Yeah, that don't happen to you. Who in the world are you mad at today? I ain't done nothing to you. Well, that's what Cain was. He was mad, and he was mad at God. You mean to tell me that I cannot be accepted by what I've done? I've brought the best I've got. I've picked through it. And you mean to tell me you're not going to accept me? You're not going to accept me? Look what I've done. I labored hard for this. And he got mad. Oh, because God refused his offering. His was a form of godliness. That's all he had here. But he had not the very power of it. There was no genuineness to his offering. No genuineness, no reality to his godliness. And look what God said to him. God asked him, why are you wrong? Why is your countenance fallen? God's the Lord. You know who this is talking to him? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's only spoken to men through Christ. Now watch what he says here now. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? What that means is if you bring the accepted sacrifice, you'll be accepted. And look what he says, and if thou doest well, sin lieth at the door. And what he's saying is, if there's a sacrifice, let outside your door. You know exactly what kind of sacrifice to bring. You go outside your door. You can go get a sacrifice.
Yeah.
You can get a blood sacrifice. And then watch what he's saying. That's why I noticed what it means. Because unto thee shall be his desire. You're the firstborn. And you'll rule over him. So he says, if you bring the right sacrifice, that would be the right thing to do, and that would be the will, and then you'll be accepted then. But if you don't, you'll end up lost. And that's what he did. He went out from the presence of the Lord. And oh, beloved, look what happens in verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. They was out having a conversation. Talking like brothers do. And no doubt he began to, I think, probably show his authority over it. And Abel says, well, you know what you need to do to be accepted. Abel probably start preaching the gospel to him. Probably start telling him, you know, God accepted, not me, but accepted my offering. And watch what happens. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. First sin committed outside the garden, other than Cain bringing his sacrifice, was murder. Killed his own brother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. And he didn't even love his family. Didn't even love his own brother enough to keep from killing him. You say, people wouldn't do that. Oh yeah, brothers will kill brothers. They've always done it. Been many of them done that.
than many have done.
That's happened here. I know brothers killing brothers.
But now look what happens now. And so Cain had believed he had lost the birthright of the firstborn and rather kill Abel than submit to him.
Cain desired to be first at all costs. If it means that I got to kill you to be the firstborn, I'll do it. Look what happens now. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Now I want you to notice something. You can't hide sin. There was no human eye. There were just two men there in that field. And there was no witnesses. Nobody there. They wasn't going to be taken to court. Wasn't going to be tried for murder. Wasn't going to be tried for manslaughter. There were just two men there. But yet, his sin couldn't be hid. You know who saw it? God saw it. God saw it. Ain't that what it says here? Sin can't be hid. There's no human witness, but God saw it. God saw. Ain't that what he says? Where is Abel thy brother? He said, first thing he done, he lied to God. Boy, when you start down that slippery slope, bringing your own works, and that next thing you know, you'd be lying to God. Oh, I ain't never killed anybody. I ain't never murdered anybody. But have you ever been mad at somebody enough that you've got your hands on you to hurt them? Have you ever plotted vengeance in your heart or in your mind? That's murder. That's what our Lord said. Look what he said. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he's at. Oh, he started lying to God. Be sure your sins shall find you out. Cain said, I know not. He starts out first of all mad because he's mad at God.
Yeah.
Abel no doubt says, you know, you got a sacrifice. Why don't you take it? God told him he could go get a sacrifice. And here Abel goes out in the field and he starts preaching to him and he says, no, I'm the firstborn and I'm going to rule this roost if it means your death. And so he started out first of all mad at God, but he couldn't get to God. But you know who he could get to? He could get to his brother. He could get to that one accepted of God. And that's the way people are in this world. They can't get to God. They get to the closest thing to Him. Me and you. And oh, beloved, notice there was no contrition here. There was no broken heart. There was no broken spirit. There was no humility here. There was no Kim confessing his sin. He didn't say, I've sinned. I'm sorry. Oh, I've done a wicked thing. Please forgive me. Oh, I didn't mean to kill. And you know, if he had turned around and brought a sacrifice, David committed murder, but yet he was a man after God's own heart and he was accepted of God. He died in peace. This man committed murder and was not sorry for it. David said, it's against you I've sinned and done this evil in your sight. Simon Peter denied the Lord three times. He said, nobody denied the Lord. Simon Peter did three times, but he was forgiven of his sins. This man did not, he could have been forgiven, but he says no. I'm not brokenhearted. I'm not going to confess my sin. He lied to God. He didn't say, oh, what have I done? I killed my own brother. No. You know what he said? And he said in verse 10, he said, what have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. It's the blood of a righteous man calling out to God. It's the blood of a man accepted of God crying out. And if you think Abel's blood, imagine what the voice of the blood of Christ says.
Amen.
How loud it speaks before the presence of God. If Abel's blood voice speaks, how much more shall the voice of the Son of God and His blood speak in the presence of God? Oh my. And now God says this in verse 11, now you're cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When you till the ground, it ain't going to yield unto you anymore. Not like it has. A fugitive, you're going to be a fugitive the rest of your life. You're going to be a vagabond. You'll never have a resting place. if you're going to be on earth. And watch what old Cain said. He said, this is what I deserve. This is what I deserve. This is what I deserve.
No.
Said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You're just too hard on me. My punishment is too great. That's what he said, what Satan told Eve. He said, oh, no, no. God won't cause you to die. You'll just have your eyes open. You shall not surely die. He said, God's too just to kill you. God's too just to damn you. God's too just to let you die. And that's why he said here, God, your justice is just too much. My punishment's too much for what I've done. But oh, here he is. He's lied to God. Tried to come to God with his own works. That's what you think about this. If righteousness come by the law, if it come by your deeds, come by your works, then Christ is dead in vain. That's what he's telling us. If you try to come to God any other way than through the blood of Christ and his righteousness sacrifice, what you're saying is that Christ is not enough. His death is not enough. His blood is not enough. His righteousness is not enough. There really ain't complete salvation in him. I need to add something to it. And how damnable would that thing be to God? How would that stink in the nostrils of God? And oh, he said, and then verse 14, he says, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Even the earth will reject me. Everybody on earth will reject me. And watch this, and from thy face shall I be hid. Oh my. You'll never look at me again. You'll never look my way again. And David, and oh, how many saints, says, oh Lord, cause your face to shine upon us. Turn your face toward us. Cause the countenance of thy face to shine on us. And here he says, oh, your face on it. I'll be hid from it. I'll be a fugitive, a vagabond in the earth. And watch what now, he says, it'll come to pass that everyone finds me, he's going to try to kill me. Going to try to kill me. He's going to be a wanderer. And watch what God said to him here. The Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him seven times worse. You think your punishment's greater than you can bear. You wait till somebody lays a hand on you. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain. What kind of mark? I have no idea. But evidently he put some kind of a mark on him. And lest any man should kill him. He says, you're going to live till the day you die, and you're going to live in misery. You're never going to know any peace. You're going to always feel like somebody, the wicked, and you're going to feel like somebody's going to kill you. Every morning you get up today, somebody's going to slay me. Somebody's going to kill me. You're going to have a miserable life from now to the day you die. You're going to find out, and that's what eternity's going to be like. Hid from the presence of God. Be a fugitive. Be put out from the presence of God. And God puts a mark on you that you'll never be in my presence ever again. And you'll die and never die. You'll always be dying, but you'll never die. What a horrible state. And then look what it says. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Oh my. Surely you won't go out of here from the presence of God today, will you? Will you go out from the presence of the Lord today? Like Cain? He says, there's God. There's His presence. There's how I can be accepted. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to turn and go this way right now. I'm going to put God to my back. I'm going to put God behind me. And I'm going to go that way right there. Surely you wouldn't do that. Surely you wouldn't do that. Where's the presence of the Lord at? At the right hand of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. God help you to look to Him. Look to Him. You know, The work's done, the sacrifice been offered. There's nothing for you to do but say, I believe God. I believe that sacrifice. I believe that blood offering. And I'm going to come to Him. God help you to do it. Our precious, precious Lord Jesus, our gracious God in heaven, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for the truth as it is in Christ. Father, bless this word to hearts and minds today. Father, don't let anyone go out here from your presence. Stir up the heart, stir up the mind, stir up the conscience until it can find no rest, no peace, except in the Lord Jesus Christ and His work done for sinners. God help them, please, to do that for Christ's sake. We bless you for Him. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to